Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
They see us as college boys.
Hello, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs, a music podcast. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm going to welcome everyone to the show. Thank you so much for listening, whether you've been listening for many years or you just started. We appreciate every single one of you. Thank you very much. Today, we're going to have an episode recounting a tour that took place by a band called REM in the year 1984. And I hope you're going to enjoy that. But before we get to that, I want to remind you, your daily reminder, to vote in our American Band Madness bracket. It is a straight knockout tournament that's going to go on until March when we determine the final four greatest American bands, then the final two, then the final one sitting on top of the pyramid. All you have to do is find us on social media. Our handle is @SuburbsPod on Facebook and Twitter. And every day you'll see a new matchup posted there. And all you have to do is simply vote. Vote for which one you want, and we will tally those up each day, and we will let you know who won the matchup the next morning. And you can also go to suburbspod.com, and you can click on a link there that will show you the current status of the bracket. We've just about completed two regions, I guess you'd call them, or sections, and next we will be starting off the third one. So you've still got plenty of time to follow the bracket and your favorite band. So just check us out on social media and check out our website, suburbspod.com, and we appreciate your participation. All right, folks, today we're going to talk about REM's Little America Tour. And I wanted to bring this up because I was recently rereading some sections of a book by Robert Dean Lurie, and it is called Begin the Begin, REM's Early Years. And if those of you who remember, way back in the year 2019, we actually did a live event in Washington, D.C. with Robert Dean Lurie. He came and spoke. He read some sections of his book. He answered questions. He talked to us, and we made three podcast episodes out of it, episodes 659, 660, and 661 back in August of 2019. And also goes with that is episode 687, where we rounded up responses to those three episodes and all kinds of good REM stuff. So go back and check those out if you're so inclined. But today we're going to take a trip down memory lane to the year 1984 and talk about the Little America Tour. Now, what's important in context here is that on April 9th of 1984, REM released their Reckoning album, and that was their second full-length studio EP. They had the Chronic Town EP, and then they had Murmur, and then they released Reckoning. And in the spring of 84, they actually did some promoting and touring in Europe for the record. And then they set out on the Little America Tour. And I want to read from a little something or some facts here from Robert Dean Lurie's book that make this tour very notable. This is the first tour, it says, when REM traveled in an air-conditioned bus rather than a van. It was the first tour that had a name. Now, some things you'll look on the internet, you'll see names of tours before this, but those are named after the fact. They were not actually named when it was happening. This is the first one where REM said, this is the name of this tour. It was called the Little America Tour, and it was the first one where their longtime manager, Jefferson Holt, was not with them being the tour manager. They actually had another person named Jeff Trump who came in and was the tour manager, so he oversaw all the operations, and they had a group of about 15 to 20 people that was driving around in this bus with them. So they had a pretty big entourage between roadies, sound men, tour managers, and other folks. And it was the biggest tour they had undertaken by far, and certainly would be one of their most legendary and successful. And certainly was at a time when they were just rising and rising and just getting all kinds of great critical notices and really exploding at college radio and all kinds of different places. So we're going to go and look at the tour that took place in 84. So there were two parts of this tour. The first one in the summertime and the second one in the fall. And the second one was timed to coincide with students going back to college, because obviously that was a huge fan base for REM, were people that were in school and loved to dissect every lyric on the record or try to figure out what they were. The tour part one comprised roughly 36 shows, and it started on June 16th, 1984 at the Star Palace in Fresno, California. The opening act for all the shows on this tour was the Dream Syndicate. So, wow, you got 84 Circa Dream Syndicate and 84 Circa REM. Amazing. Let me just read to you the set list, and I want to say thanks to a website where I pulled a lot of this information. It's called remtimeline.com. They have a tremendous amount of detail that has been put together from people's memories and REM fandom. I also use the Setlist FM a little bit, as well as, of course, the Source of All Human Knowledge and a couple of different books, including Robert Dean Lurie's, to put this little podcast together for everybody. The Setlist basically included the following songs: Second Guessing, Hyena, Talk About the Passion, Good Advices, which is interesting because that appeared on a yet-to-be-released album. Also, from that same forthcoming record were Old Man Kenzie and Driver 8. So they were all played on this tour, along with South Central Rain, Gardening at Night, 9-9, Wind Out, Pretty Persuasion, Radio for Europe, and Little America, of course, fitting. The tour ended officially on 28 July 1984 at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's look at a few notable events from the first part of this tour. On the 19th of June, they played a concert called The Rock of the 80s. The Showtime at the Palace Hollywood. I don't know if that means it was on the Showtime Network or what, but the other acts on the bill included Nona Hendrix, Jason and the Scorchers, and Simple Minds. That's the rock of the 80s. On July 6th, they played at the Summerfest 84 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think that's a big park right on the lake, if I'm not mistaken. The next day, they actually did a in-store record signing at Rose Records in Chicago, Illinois. Then that night was a key event in REM history. They played a concert at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, Illinois, and the show was recorded by a local radio station, WXRT 93.1 FM, and it was broadcast twice later, once at a length of 1.5 hours, and the next time it was trimmed down to fit into a 1 hour slot. And this show was bootlegged from those recordings. And there's a couple of CD bootlegs, one called Disturbances, another called Back to Rockville. And then there was a vinyl bootleg called Live in Chicago. And then in 2009, when the REM Reckoning album turned 25 years old, they did a deluxe reissue. And the CD included, the second disc was the entire Aragon Ballroom show, or most of it anyway. And that is something you can go back and listen to right now.
Pretty great, huh?
It's been pretty simple so far. Vacation in Athens was calm, baby. Knock on wood. I thought I'd left you behind.
Letter Never Sent from the Aragon Ballroom Show, July 7th, 1984, REM, part one of the Little America Tour. Great stuff. Let's see. As the month rolled on, 13th July, they did an in-store record signing at Cheapies Records and Tapes in Toronto. On the 17th, they played a venue called the Good Skates Roller Ballroom in Port Haven Music Hall in East Setauket, New York. Probably butchering the pronunciation, Setauket, New York. So I don't know if they're playing a roller rink or what, but that sounds pretty cool to me. On July 19th, they did an in-store signing in Boston at Strawberries Records. I guess that's Peach's competitor, Strawberry Records. And then on the 21st, they did another in-store signing at J&R Music World in New York, New York. Then a key event, July 24th, 1984. Now, this is a little personal anecdote I want to tell you. The first time I ever heard REM was on the radio, the rock radio station, DC 101, and gosh, maybe it is still a radio station. I don't know, but it was back in the 80s. In 1983, they were playing the Radio Free Europe single from the Murmur album. And the reason was the Police were coming to the Capitol Center, which is the big rock venue out in Maryland. And REM was going to be the opening act. And we had tickets for the Police, me and my friend Steve Healy. And we took a couple of friends to that concert. And the Capitol Center is, you know, the place, man. It's where I saw The Who and Springsteen and the Kinks and, you know, all the big bands played there. It's the scene of the famous heavy metal parking lot movie. It was filmed in the parking lot of the Cap Center in Maryland. But so we got to see REM do their opening set that night, and that was when sort of the fandom began. And we heard, and information obviously traveled in much different ways back then, we heard that there was going to be an REM tour, and it was going to come to DC, and we knew it was going to be down at the Warner Theater. And we were really excited. We didn't have tickets or didn't buy tickets, so I guess we weren't all that organized. And believe me, no, we were not back then. But in the summer of 84, so Andy Dubuque, my friend and I, we headed down to Washington, D.C. We were going to buy tickets outside the show, and it was June 24th. We went down there and went to the venue, and there was not anybody there at all. It certainly didn't look like there was a concert going on. And we went up to the person in the box office and said, hey, when's the REM concert supposed to be happening tonight, right? And, you know, are there tickets? And the person said, well, I think you've made a little mistake. That concert's not until July 24th. You're a month early. So we showed up an entire month early for the REM concert. And then, as it turned out, when the actual date at the Warner Theater took place, July 24th, 1984, we couldn't get tickets. They were sold out and not possible to get any outside, or we weren't savvy enough to understand how to do it at that time. So no go for us to see the July 24th concert. So it wasn't until the next part of the tour that I was actually able to see REM as a headlining act for the first time. But we'll talk about that coming up. The tour officially ended, as I said, July 28th, Fox Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. But an interesting thing took place a couple nights later. The club in Athens, the hometown of REM, called the Uptown Lounge. It seems like REM and the Dream Syndicate were hanging out a little bit in Athens. And apparently they were supposed to have a band play one night. And for some reason, the band didn't show up. So the club was looking at losing money because they had sold tickets. And, you know, we're not going to be able to reap any of the benefits for that. And so some of the guys with Dream Syndicate and Peter Buck put together a band really quick called Adolf and the Casuals, featuring Raul, who was Peter Buck. And they went and did a set at the Uptown Lounge to help the club out and get some of the money that they were missing. They played, according to REM Timeline, they played Ghostbusters theme three times, also a set that included Sweet Home Alabama and Gloria. So much fun being had in the year 1984 on the Little America Tour.
Wrap your heel in bones of steel.
Seven Chinese Brothers, a little excerpt there from R.E.M. at the Aragon Ballroom, July 7th, 1984. Let's take a look at the second part of the tour. This is the one where I was able to successfully see the band later in the tour. It started on 5th September 1984 at the Pomona Valley Auditorium in Pomona, California. And this first show, the Blasters, opened up. And the second show they did in California, a band called the Swimming Pool Cues, opened up. I believe they were a Georgia band. To check with Kevin Goff on that one. And the rest of the tour, roughly 32 shows, was opened up by the DBs. So they were the opening act on that part of the tour. And the tour wrapped up on October 17th at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Now, as I said, there are a lot of colleges and auditoriums and radio interviews that they did on this tour. So let's take a look at some of the highlights. As I said, started off in Pomona, California, did a show at the Greek in L.A. Then they played San Diego at the Fox Theater. They played Phoenix at the Palace West. And then they started hitting some colleges. And they played on September 10th, the Grand Ballroom at the New Mexico Union Student Union Building at the University of New Mexico, Albuquerque. On September 11th, they did a radio interview at the University of Colorado Boulder at KAIR. And that night played at the Mackey Auditorium on campus. They played at the Civic Auditorium Music Hall in Omaha, Nebraska, home of Paul Trapp. They did a interview the next day at the University of Kansas at KJHK 90.7 FM. That was Bill Berry and Michael Stipe. And they played that night at the Hawk Auditorium, H-O-C-K, at the University of Kansas. Let's see, they played in Oklahoma City, Dallas, Austin, and Houston, and Nashville. And then they hit back on the campuses. They played the University of Alabama at something called the Foster Auditorium. I don't remember anything being named for me that early in my life. Of course, many things have been named for me since then, and we all know the famous buildings. But the Foster Auditorium, I'll have to get down there to Tuscaloosa one of these days and see if it's still there. Played in Charlotte, then two nights at Duke University, the Page Auditorium at Duke University, and in between they did a record in-store signing at the Record Bar in Durham. Wow. From there, they took a day off, and then they went down to the University of South Florida in Tampa and played at the soccer stadium. So they played an outdoor show on 28 September at a soccer field. The next day, it was Florida Atlantic University. They played at the auditorium at the University Center. Next, another outdoor show. They played the band shell at Flavitt Field at the University of Florida in Gainesville. They hit Tulane University a couple days later at the McAllister Auditorium. Then Fulton Chapel at the University of Mississippi in Oxford. They played the Shyrock Auditorium at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And then they did a signing at Streetside Records in St. Louis, Missouri. Washington University in St. Louis, they played the Graham Chapel on October 6th. And they hit Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois. They played the Egyptian Theater. And they played the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor, my hometown. And Ann Arbor, of course, revolves a lot around the University of Michigan. And then here we have it, folks. 10 October 1984, the first time we were able to see R.E.M. as a headliner at the Smith Center, George Washington University. DB's opening up. Very cool show. From what I remember, had a lot of fun. And then was able to see him actually on the next tour, the Fables tour, back at the Warner Theater in D.C. Next, the University Hall at the University of Virginia. 1984, was Mulligan around there? I'll have to check. Capitol Theater in Passaic, then the Harvey Hubble Gymnasium at the University of Bridgeport in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Somebody on the student union was sharp then. They got him to the University of Bridgeport. They did an interview at the University of Massachusetts Amherst on the 15th with WMUA Radio 91.1. Then they played that night at the Fine Arts Center. Let's see, they played the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence and wrapped everything up at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania on the 17th of October. And then they went back to Athens and played a couple hometown shows before heading off to Japan in November and doing a Far East tour and then back to Europe to finish promoting the album as the year closed out. But that was the story of the Little America Tour. I found that and found that to be very, very interesting. I want to read a little quote here, too, from a guy that's mentioned in Robert Dean Lurie's book. His name is Chris Edwards, and he, on the second half of the Little America tour, went out with the band and was helping. He was part of that sort of entourage where they had the 15 or 20 or so people. And he started out, it says here, his nickname on the first part of the tour when REM, and he would go on to later to work with them for years and years in a whole bunch of different situations. But he said his nickname was the Iceman because they required about 12 cases of beer a day. And it was his job to procure that in the ice to keep it cold as they toured around. So they had to keep their beer going. He had a quote, too, about how the band interacted with the crowd after the shows. I thought this was really interesting, so I'm going to read it. He says in Robert Dean Lurie's book, quote, something that was amazing about them in those days, they would stay after the show and talk to everybody that wanted to talk. I remember sitting in a bus all the time waiting for the crowd to thin out. You could always see after the show who was there based on the number of people around them. Michael had the biggest crowd around him. Peter would be second, but then Mike and Bill might have 80 people around them. They would stay there and talk and answer the same stupid questions and listen to everyone and converse until the fans were tired of talking. They were just so gracious with their time. And that's a band who was on the cusp of rising to a completely different level of popularity, artistic success, all kinds of different things. And really, the Little America tour was the first time they had really taken a step up into going to be REM. It was just a taste of what was to come. Obviously, mega, mega success. But this was the time artistically, as I said, and I think from their fans, there was a tremendous amount of passion and interest in the band at that time. Certainly, I was feeling it. That is for sure. And how about you? Do you feel it out there, listener? Did you see any part of the Little America tour? Did you stay after the show and talk to REM? Do you have any memories of going to a show a whole month early? If you do, please let us know. We'd love to put together a little follow-up to this tour episode and see if you have any anecdotes or any observations, or maybe I got something wrong and you were at the show and you can correct me, but if so, certainly bring it on. You can record a voice file. We'd love to hear your voice on these kind of things on your home audio equipment or your little smartphone there, and you can attach it to an email and send it to rock@suburbspod.com. Just put REM Little America or REM Live in the subject matter and we'll find it. Also, you can call our suburban party line, 612-440-1984, and we'll pick up that message and put it together and play it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're planning to do a few more of these, focusing on certain specific tours if you enjoy this, and hopefully people did. And if you have any ideas for that, certainly let us know, too. We'd love to hear what you have to say as far as that goes. Could be a tour you saw. Could be a tour that has become famous after the fact. Anything would be great. Just hit us up with your suggestions. We are here for you. All right, folks, that's going to do it for today and our little trip down REM's memory lane and the Little America tour. We're going to go out with another selection from the July 7th, 1984 concert that was issued as part of the 25th anniversary of the Reckoning album, which was the main record REM was touring behind in those days. I am Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to say peace, love, and REM, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
There's some ideals that will not compromise. There are some who are patriotic among us. There are some who will raise our flag to what they do not know.
See myself at 30, I don't buy your lack of 30. Car like rocks, pressure faulty bar and jewelry. Look at it. I need it in the amphitheater. We sell back. Pressure faulty bar and size. If she bear talk like pressure. Biggest wagon is the empty wagon. It's the noisiest. Just a dish been on it. Who will sweep the floor? And
put your hands on the beach. Do you realize lots of people? Biggest wagon is the empty wagon. It's the noisiest.
You're a month early.